Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and my voice will be followed by an awkward, sad pause where Jennifer Landa currently isn't there. Sad for us, but good for her because she is on a well-deserved vacation. Not just a vacation from Four Center, but, you know, one of those life vacations, right?
Indeed, indeed. And it's like, this is like an old school version of the Four Center news, but really with Jen, that was the old school news and the new school. So anyways, she's off today. We're here having a lot of fun. We're going to talk about some Star Wars director news, but also look ahead to Star Wars Celebration, which is, well, just a couple days away. Before we get to all that, I want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, Wafe, Four Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And we've been doing the ask. You all know the ask. It's our segment where we just say, hey, we got some things we're working on. We'd love you to check it out. Joseph, what do we have?
We are still focusing on Patreon. If you're interested in becoming a part of our Patreon community, you can go to patreon.com /ForceCenter. If we keep doing this ask, I will get the website correct on the first try. Patreon.com/ForceCenter. We've been talking about these goals, some of the new things a lot. So listeners probably know, but we're doing this Indiana Jones in the Perilous podcast on Patreon, building up to the new film Dial of Destiny. We have our first episode out talking about our history with Indiana Jones. Got some great comments from patrons on Patreon about how they were first in encountering the adventure of Indiana Jones. The next episode, analyzing, discussing Raiders of the Lost Ark, is going to be out on May 1st. So if you want to check that out, check out our Discord, all that stuff, some rewards. It's all on Patreon. We are building to a goal of $2,000 a month, at which level Jennifer Landa is going to do a YouTube series of NPR meets Star Wars, some deep and thoughtful and fun analysis of interesting Star Wars topics from Jennifer.
Yes, indeed. I am looking forward to that. We're going to hit that goal. I'm looking forward to seeing those. I still occasionally, I've listened to that Ben Burtt Jedi Beat one a few times.
It's so
back
good.
And yeah, it's so good.
It's so good. So good. And we are building a really strong thank you to everyone who's been around with us for a long time. Some people coming back and lots of new people. So thank you all so much for joining us and for helping us there on Patreon.
Yeah, absolutely. I echo what Joseph said there. We are going to talk about Star Wars and life adventures. I think really many of the adventures are in front of us this week, but doesn't mean we haven't had our moments where life and Star Wars collide, crash, or, you know, enlighten, where Star Wars enlightens life. That's a good way to look at it. Anyways, it's been that kind of weekend for me, Joseph. How was your weekend?
It's the weekend was good. It was busy. Everything's been busy always. In particular, you know, we sometimes talk about our life for Star Wars adventures. We're like, hey, we're not going to talk necessarily about the things we covered for ForceCenter. And this week is like a lot of my Star Wars adventures were watching Mando and Bad Batch on the same night, going through deep emotional upheaval from the Bad Batch, doing our great live stream that we did on Friday, all sorts of prep for Star Wars Celebration. My life has been Star Wars adventures this week and almost nothing else. One of the only life adventures that was sort of outside of the direct getting ready for ForceCenter was I helped my wife pick out her Star Wars shirts for Celebration because she's got a few and she was really trying to like, do you think this will be good? And like, it says Star Wars. That's all anyone cares about. It's a very warm and welcoming space. So I did that. And then the other thing, actually, I found a DVD copy of a documentary that ForceCenter listeners had actually turned me onto. I wasn't aware of it. The same director who made the wonderful documentary that we both really enjoy from the Star Wars DVD collection back in the day. I'm spacing on the name of the one we love, the Imperial one.
Empire of Dreams?
Empire of Dreams, yes. Empire of Dreams. It's based on the title. Same director made a documentary for, I believe, the History Channel. My DVD has a big, this is for promotional use only, don't resell, but I found it used. The documentary Star Wars Legacy Revealed is really great. It is a deep dive into a lot of the big mythic ideas, some of the hero's journey stuff, but also how Star Wars, you know, is influenced by and in creating new myth. Lots of great ideas broken down really well. And I believe it's from 2007. A real trip through time travel. There's some scholars, Newt Gingrich is on it. And I kept waiting for somebody to ask him, like, do you know you're the namesake of Newt Gunray and how do you feel about it? Joss Whedon is on it. Probably wouldn't be now. Kevin Smith. I love Kevin Smith. He makes at least one joke would be like, I don't think that would be here today. So just like Star Wars, the ideas in this documentary are ancient and evergreen in some of the details, maybe a little stuck in their exact moment.
I've never seen that one. It's on a list of things to track down myself. Because we do love Empire Dreams. That's fantastic.
It's really good. It's really well made. And one of my, well, I'm not going to spoil it. Peter Jackson says one of my favorite things right at the end.
Oh, that's great. I love Peter Jackson. Okay.
Yeah, but that's great. It's great. Other thing I want to say here for life for Star Wars adventures, and then I'm going to pass the talking Mandalorian Beskar hammer to you, Ken. Our friend of the podcast and our personal friend, Brian E. Ward, finally launched a YouTube show. He has, I think if you are an internet fan of Star Wars, a fan of Star Wars who spends time on the internet at all, you've seen Brian's work. He's done so much great artwork for us, for Star Wars Explained, for Schmoes Know over the years in all sorts of different shows. He also has, you know, just viral jokes, Photoshop images that he makes that get passed around. And I see people reposting them that I know that don't know mm-hmm. Brian and don't know that Brian mm-hmm. made that. And, so he's got a new YouTube show called Midnight NAS. If you go to YouTube and search for Midnight NAS, it is a great little YouTube tutorial that is also just full of Brian's wit, which is always present in his work, but it's really fun and really wonderful to hear and see the wit from his own unique voice.
So glad you brought that up. Brian's been dreaming of doing something like this for a bit. And part of the reason he's just at times thankful, I'm sure, but busy doing content, imaging and branding for other people, including us, including some of my personal stuff. Hey, I got some new Team Zoc merch you can get on my YouTube channel. Brian designed that. So I was part of the problem pulling him away from doing this. Everything you said, I echo. And you and I, from working with Brian years ago, the current Force Center main logo is his, and that Databank Brawl, the animated version, was some of the first stuff that Brian did outside of just his, at the time, the whole job he has. So we go back a ways, but I think you and I just had so many wonderful opportunities to get to know him. Chicago 2019, Anaheim 2022 at Star Wars Celebrations. He's just exactly what you said. He is very funny. He's so quiet. And then I told, he was kind of nervous about doing this, you know, his voice. He wasn't comfortable with his voice. And I said, well, you're blessed with a gift. You have one of the most relaxing ASMR ready voices. So your video is in four quadrants. It's going to relax people, inform people, entertain people, and be about Dexter Jester. So you're going to hit all of them. Really happy for him. So glad you highlighted it. It's wonderful. So go over there. Do the old Force Center sent me thing, folks. Subscribe to the channel, Midnight NAS. If you love Boss NAS, you'll get a lot of Boss NAS. And if you like Yarl Poof, you'll get some Yarl Poof. It's all there. It's all there.
And a lot of Dexter Jetster. That first video is about putting Dexter Jetster into individual moments from the current season of Mandalorian. So, hey, that's beautiful to us, as everybody knows.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what were your adventures?
Chaos. a lot going on in life. Everyone out there's got a struggle. So ours aren't more than anyone else, but just kind of a tough weekend around the house, some medical stuff going on, and as well as the, you know, overwhelming feeling of packing up your life and heading to another country for the first time for me. That just brings in an extra level of anxiety. It's going to be fine. I'm excited. Can't wait to get there. Alex and Molly Damon are there already sending me back photos. I can't wait. But, you know, any leaving your house for a day in LA, it causes some overwhelming prep stress, right? So I'm not going to lie. It seems so silly, and it will be so silly. Like, this is when I was really scared about turning 40, and then it was like, oh, that's all. But it doesn't mean anxieties aren't unfounded. So it's just been a weekend of, I just can't wait till wheels are up and I'm heading to Star Wars Celebration. And some of that, again, you know, you have to go to your Star Wars training, your Qui-Gon moments, all that kind of stuff is there. But in the middle of all that, because I need to kind of distract myself, and try to lose the last couple, 1 or 2 pounds before I take a stand-up stage with you, Joseph, there. I'm doing a lot of extra cardio. And because of that, I'm in my my Rebels season 3 rewatch. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it, man. And that is, it's as a fan, right? We're not doing any reviews on it yet. We might do one day a Rebels report. Who knows? But like, I'm just watching as a fan. And it's been a bit since I really took that deep dive. Mm-hmm. And like, I forgot. Like, I know everything about the Bendu. I didn't remember how just wonderfully bonkers the Bendu is and all this stuff and how spiritual and the philosophy of it and everything that it leads to. That's great. I love that stuff. I just watched the episode that's the kind of the official, unofficial end of the Clone Wars, right? Where you got Rex and the tactical mm-hmm. droid empire. And that was wonderful. And I, you know, what I'd kind of forgot was so prevalent in that episode wasn't just the continuation of the Clone Wars and the Clone Wars series in a way with, you know, clankers and that, but the battle droid humor kind of comes home. Mm-hmm. There's great moments. I totally forgot about some of them. And how I think I hadn't, until the Clone Wars report, hadn't really followed the humor of the battle droids, the plight of the battle droids, and loved it, you know, like you and I do. And to see it present in there, and I just kind of forgot that was there. It's been a wonderful, even after all these Star Wars shows and a wonderful 3-hour live stream and all this stress, it's so wonderful to be a Star Wars fan and just watch this stuff and enjoy it.
It really is. It really is. I'm looking forward to making my action figure list of like, okay, what am I really looking for? How many can I truly carry as I finish my packing? Nothing will ever extinguish that Star Wars fan flame. I'm so excited about your Rebels rewatch. It's so rewarding. In particular, I love the Bendu's arc. That I think the Bendu's one of those characters that maybe sometimes we just kind of quote what the Bendu says about the one in the middle, and yeah. his arc is, how'd that work out for you, Bendu?
Right.
You know,
right.
When the fight came to your planet and one side was clearly the aggressor coming to harm you, you had to make a choice, didn't you? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. You're right. You're right. We can quote, I'm the Bendu, the one in the middle. Yeah, you were so neat. I saw it all again for the first time, and I'm halfway through the season. I haven't got to the end, so I'm excited. Been fun.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Well, let's get to some Star Wars news here, folks. I think it's a little bit of a calm before the storm, and a storm is coming, Annie. We've got some Star Wars news going to hopefully be exploding out of the Excel Center later in this week, but we are catching up with some skeleton crew director rumors. These were rumors on some sites that were kind of confirmed a little bit later by the Hollywood Reporter, and we may have touched on one, I cannot remember, but we wanted to catch up for certain. 2 weeks ago, it was reported that the Daniels, the directing team of Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, and Oscar winners, by the way, for Everything Everywhere All at Once, had directed one episode of the upcoming Star Wars plus Disney show Skeleton Crew. This had happened. They got this gig before their career exploding film had even been released. And in a statement on Instagram, and I don't know if you even had seen this, Joseph, I don't know if you can find it, it was a story. There was some pushback from who, I don't know, but from Everything Everywhere All at Once fans, that they had quote sold out, that they took a corporate gig. And the Daniels put a collective statement on their Instagram story that basically I'm summarizing here. They took the gig because their buddy John Watts asked. They like new tech. They also said they like meeting new people and they like Star Wars. And then they added this. They needed the hours to keep their medical insurance for the DGA. And yeah, and it's like that's a reality there. Is the concept of selling out real? Yeah, I think you can probably find examples throughout all of pop culture and our own history. I totally get that. I just thought it was an interesting conversation point. Maybe it's too real for Star Wars, Joseph, but Kei-Hui Kwan mentioned that after, you know, shooting Everything Everywhere All at Once, a role he'd eventually win this wonderful sweet Oscar, he lost his medical insurance with the SAG. So it's a very realistic thing. It highlights the difference between the top 1-5% who make a living off of it and the other working creatives in this town who don't. So yeah, sometimes you got to take a Star Wars directing gig to get your medical insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think, yeah, you could probably find examples of selling out, but I think almost the way we've examined the word filler of like, hey, maybe it has, you know, some history, but has it grown beyond what it was originally talking about to be this sort of large amorphous, you know, finger pointing, you know, what does that mean? They're working directors, you know, even if they got the offer after Everything Everywhere All at Once. Why might they not want to do this for keeping their insurance for a practical reason? That's I don't think that's selling out. You know, I don't think taking a second job to make ends meet in any field is selling out. That's called, you know, keeping yourself afloat. You know, look at these guys keeping themselves afloat, but then also just creatively. I don't know. I think we get very consumed about status, right? And I know that, you know, there are people who are like hardcore indie films fans, and they don't enjoy Star Wars, they don't enjoy Marvel, and that's fine. Nobody has to enjoy one thing, but there can be this sort of vitriol that taking a high profile job, you know, it is bad and not creative for creative people. And to me, that's a little bit of the like, going back to our youth of like a punk band shouldn't become famous. By becoming right. famous, they now suck. You know, that level yeah. of like stay in the basement, kind of yeah. literally with bands. But for me, creatives are like, well, they're probably going to, I think they're going to be okay. Record breaking Oscar wins, mm-hmm. massive new overall deal. I'm sure they're going to make a new film that is entirely their vision. And if they want to creatively for themselves, for any reason, direct 8 episodes of Law and Order, that's their choice as artists.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, well said. This is, maybe outside of a Star Wars conversation, but I love seeing the response. And again, I wasn't saying they were selling out. I don't know. But to me, yeah, selling out is if you suddenly woke up out there and you went to the Force Center YouTube channel and all of our videos were red-eyed, thumbnail, Disney Star Wars sucks videos, and that would be selling out to me.
Yeah.
You and I would be enjoying more clicks, but that would be a sellout, not taking what we do and putting in other spots or just continuing to do what we do on our channel. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So that's fascinating.
But, hey, thoughts on these hip, cool Oscar winners joining the Star Wars family? We absolutely do not know much about Skeleton Crew still. But what do you think they could bring to it, or just what's your reaction to the Daniels in Star Wars?
Yeah, I'm really excited by it. You know, you kind of you look at creators' work and see like how much of that is going to translate from their own work to Star Wars, or mm-hmm. is Star Wars an opportunity to sort of stretch in different directions? It's great to see the Carl Weathers episode had some of this latest season of Mandalorian had some action, which he's really known for, right? But it had some other stuff too. So it's an opportunity to both do what's on the tin for the creator, what they're known for, and to stretch. I don't know the Daniels work outside of Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I watched recently right before the Oscars. Really enjoyed it. I do think that film shares a real sensibility of Star Wars of there is a love of fun, absurdity, big, exciting, weird action. But all of it to me in that film is anchored by extremely real, extremely raw, extremely important emotions. And in the Oscar victory triumph of Everything Everywhere All at Once, I've seen people like on my Facebook feed kind of finally checking out Everything Everywhere All at Once a little bit with arms crossed. And having a little bit of that reaction that Star Wars sometimes gets of people challenged by the mixture of the profound and the absurd of like, I tried watching that and they wanted me to take it really seriously as a family drama. But then also people had hot dog fingers. Doesn't work tonally. And again, everybody's welcome to their opinion. But to me, like, that's why they're great for Star Wars. Drama and hot dog fingers are Star Wars. You know, it's absurd and it's profound at the same time.
That's a great point. And I have not had a chance to watch the movie. Why? I'm too busy to watch movies. I've got to look at Google Maps to find a convenience store near my hotel in London to buy snacks and beer at. I mean, come on, these things I got to do. It's something I'm definitely interested in checking out. And I loved your description of it. It's funny. I'm now pre-defensive of an Oscar movie based on what you're saying there. I want to debate people on that. But I also get it. And sometimes, you know, even for me, little beats here might not seem out of place, but just I think my mind's going a certain way. And then Pelimoto shows up and does something kind of wacky. And I, in the moment, I might not know how to adjust, but that is truly Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I think the litmus test for me is always to, you know, go to Return of the Jedi, go to Han Solo tapping 3PO in the shoulder 3 times. I don't know if I would have laughed at that joke as much now as I did then, but I did then. And it's part of why I love Star Wars. So I'm looking forward to this. Looking forward to them coming to Star Wars. And right now, and we'll talk about this a little bit also with the second half of the story, I'm not worried about what they can continue to do in Star Wars, what they want to do. Are we going to get a Daniel Star Wars movie? I just want to see what they do with this episode. And I think they just wanted to see what they can do with an episode of Star Wars. And there's something I like that about that.
Absolutely. I think there is just there's a sense of joy and a sense of play. And also, like, let's really not sleep on the they like new tech, right? They are young directors experimenting with what's out there, the tech of the volume and how it is going, assuming that's what they're talking about, and how it's going to evolve, adapt, be used by filmmakers, maybe not everything's going to be shot on the volume, but maybe it's going to really get used as like, it's a tool. This kind of scene looks great on it. So, you know, you can write a film like this where like the majority of it is going to be filmed this way. But these three key scenes, we know we can save all this money and make them look great by putting it on the volume. The fact that they want to explore that is I think, good for filmmaking, to be perfectly honest, to have new directors really interested in new tech and how to use it.
Absolutely. I love that take as well. Even though sometimes, you know, I've get grumpy with some of the stagecraft look, I think it's gotten better and better and better, as it should. That's what happens with technology. Heck, in season three of Rebels, the animation was great. Rex's face up close, you see the freckles, you see the marks, you see the scars. It looks even better in Bad Batch. And I say that a lot because I need to remind myself about that. And have people like this pushing the boundaries and learning new things, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We're not done with the new names, though. This past week, it's reported that another up-and-coming director is part of the skeleton crew. David Lowry, most known for The Green Knight, is part of the director's crew. Lowry also has Peter Pan and Wendy coming out on Disney Plus. So keeping it in the family, I suppose. Thoughts on this choice? I'll say up top, Joseph, another movie. Yeah, guessed it. I haven't seen yet. I infamously just don't see movies. Grace will tell you. She thinks I'm boring. I don't watch anything. But thoughts on this choice here and where we're going with this?
I'm very happy for all of the Star Wars fans and Force Center listeners who have said they are big fans of the film Green Knight, which I also have not seen. I have not seen a single thing that this director has done. Mm-hmm. Reading up on the Green Knight, that sounds absolutely up my alley, so I can't wait to check it out. But I think the two directors that have been rumored and I guess confirmed, at least by the Daniels at this point, it's really intriguing to me. I'm just pivoting. Like I've been taught as a tour guide, if you're not sure about the answer, pivot to something you do know. And I don't have much to say about David Lowry cause I don't know his work. But I hear everybody saying the Green Knight is amazing and it's a match for Star Wars and I can't wait to check it out. So that said, I think the Daniels and David Lowry, who is, like you said, he's in the Disney family. Green Knight seems to have been like a absolute critical smash. It's really interesting to see the Mandoverse team, headed by Favreau in particular, instead of doing sort of the stunt casting that they did for particularly the first season of Mandalorian, where they pulled lots of actors from different worlds that you maybe wouldn't expect to see in Star Wars to create, you know, interesting dynamics on screen, but also, frankly, coverage, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't know the full cast outside of Jude Law and children. Maybe it's because the cast is mostly children. But it's interesting to me that they're doing a kind of stunt directing, right? Instead of stunt casting, stunt director choices of real up-and-coming people who are making waves, right? Everything Everywhere All at Once is a massive breakthrough hit, but their previous film that I'm also spacing the name on was also, you know, made a lot of noise in the indie circuit. So I think it's interesting to see that there's cast that they're hiring directors for skeleton crew that are definitely like, hey, come play in the Star Wars sandbox, see how it goes. You know, maybe it'll lead to another relationship. Maybe it won't, whatever. But they're also very successfully, because these directors are known, adored, generating headlines and the exact kind of conversations that we're having now, because these directors have a fan base who might check out Star Wars because of the directors.
Yeah. Echoing everything you say there, including no disrespect to Mr. Lowry. I just don't know your resume yet. I looked it up, but I just went like, okay, he's made things. But I mean that in a good way of, we've talked about it before, like, you know, Rick Famuyiwa comes in. That's how a larger audience is going to get to know him. In a perfect world, Dope would have been the thing, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't know him from that. Deborah Chow, many accomplished, TV director, everything. Now we know her more. She gets Kenobi. I think it's what I'm seeing with the skeleton crew stuff. Got John Watts and Chris Ford leading the show here, and you're so right. We don't know much about it, but it's It's like, who can we come in? And there's no pressure to go make a movie. There's no pressure to launch a series. If that happens, it happens. Come play here. Come bring your skills to Star Wars. And that's one of the reasons I always say, and you say too, it's such a great time to be a Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. I love that we had George's vision. I love that we have George in his world. This is also very fun for me as a Star Wars fan, just to see so many people influenced by it. And I don't have a quote from David Lowery saying, oh yeah, I collected Kenner figures. I'm a big fan. Maybe he's just intrigued. Maybe he wants to tell, a mythic tale set in this galaxy, just like he did with the Green Knight. I don't know. Maybe I'm even struggling to find the right words. I'm just excited that we have this. We have this playground for wonderful, talented creatives in Star Wars.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, maybe we'll know more in the next week or so about where Lucasfilm is heading in terms of new Disney Plus shows, in terms of movies. But I want them to have relationships with people, with creatives, so that they can build towards things and not have some of the bumps that Lucasfilm has had, attaching directors and then de-attaching them.
Yeah. are we putting red eyes on thumbnails yet? No. No. Yeah, absolutely. I don't give it to names, but yeah, maybe some names wouldn't have lasted as long on projects if they had a chance to work with them in a quote unquote smaller scale.
Yeah.
But who knows? I'm not in those meetings. We're not in those meetings.
Nope.
There's still very little known about Skeleton Crew, as you and I have said, other than Jude Law stars in a series about four kids in the New Republic era lost in the galaxy and trying to find their way home. Will there be pirates? Will there be this? Is Jude Law Lor San Tekka? All of that is just rumors flapping in the wind. But one of those Force Center temperature checks, Joseph, with some of these names on board being confirmed, though not officially, we always will point out. But Hollywood Reporter is pretty solid. And when, you know, the Daniels go, yeah, we did it for health insurance, I count that as a confirmation of the story. what are your thoughts, dreams, anticipations for the series right now, especially since we're days away from probably getting some actual official information?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about what we know, and I'm very intrigued by what we don't know, which is to say, it's not just, hey, here's another show that's set in the same era, right? To me, I feel like we've heard enough dribbles of information that it's part of the Mandoverse. It's part of building out this era of time. It's not just like this is where it happens to be set. I think it's going to be part of building the picture of the story of this era, of the growth of the New Republic in this time where the galaxy has been shattered. It's coming back together. Lots of people with great intentions are pushing towards let's rebuild, let's heal, let's do things a different way, but are we going to be dragged back into the same, patterns of behavior that's so apparent in this season of The Mandalorian? So I'm really intrigued by what do we not know about it? How is it going to fit in with Mando, with Book of Boba Fett, with Ahsoka, not just storytelling wise or who will cross over, but thematically in the picture of this era? I also find myself wondering in terms of what we don't know. It's fun now to be so many years out from the premiere of The Mandalorian. Mm. And it was so put across to us of like, hey, a cool guy with no name and a blaster is going to tear up the galaxy. And he does. But I remember hearing you and I heard some whispers from specific people at Celebration Chicago going, people don't know that they don't know what this is.
Yes.
And that big twist that it is absolutely a cool badass, taking on the galaxy, but in service of growth and empathy, it is the coolest babysitter show you've ever seen, particularly that first season. So a part of me isn't wondering like canon secret, kind of thing, but like the shape of the show, if there's something that they haven't told us about the shape of the show that changes what it is. In that Grogu, in that we didn't know Grogu. We didn't know it was Lone Wolf and Cub. We thought it was just Lone Wolf. Is there and Cub lurking for Skeleton Crew?
Okay, you're also making me flashback to around that time. And I was doing a show at the Comedy Store and I was sitting there watching the show. And someone at the time, Lucasfilm employee, did not say anything. They did not spoil anything. They said exactly what you said in terms of just like, hey, you don't know. You have no idea. And I just remember I had this quiet sense of like, oh, because I had been worried that it was badass gunslinger guy. And I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. So take that energy. Again, I don't know any details, but take that energy to Skeleton Crew. I'm kind of intrigued going in knowing that if a gunslinger emerges, that's the change of pace, right? that you got John Watts, who is, you know, known probably most now for the Spider-Man stuff, or the Marvel stuff, but has done some horror thriller stuff there, emerged from the commercial world. So he's got some modern sensibilities and tell a story in a fast, cool, hip way. He's got all of that there, but it seems like he is really focusing on that Amblin vibe, right? And I think Star Wars, to have it just to start from that point of this is what we're doing, but it's going to be on Disney Plus. It's not a Star Wars Kid thing, which is not to talk down at Star Wars Kid or Young Jedi Adventures. Anyone talks bad about nubs in front of me, they're going to deal with me. All right. I love my nubs already, but that this is on a large scale, big reminder for kids trying to find their way home. What happens after that? Yeah, you're right. We don't know. It could, and I'm not saying it doesn't get dark. It doesn't get scary. It could be all those things. In fact, if I was 11, 12 year old kid, you'd probably want all that. Right. So I'm at a wonderful, I don't know anything point and can't wait. All that to say, I don't know. I don't know anything.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that they have told us a lot, right? In terms of what there's the fun mystery of it. But there's the, yeah, they've been really clear about Amblin, Spielbergian, John Watts, like you said, great rundown of his career, but most recently coming off of this Spider-Man journey that is a real coming of age story.
Yeah.
In stumbling into adulthood and choosing who you want to be. John Watts himself has given some like really great breakdowns of kind of how each of the Spider-Man films reflected some of his own anxiety about the film that he was making this time. as he tried to do right, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So that first steps into adulthood, classic Star Wars story, which we've often got from the perspective of one main character, right? So the idea of starting it with like, it's four Ezra's in one. It's four Luke's in one, you know, with four kids there is great. The Amblin Spielberg, to me, what that means is wonder and terror. I think that's part of what makes some of the Spielbergian coming of age stories powerful is you get to see through a younger person's eyes, the absolute beauty of all the possibilities that are out there for you, but also the fear of becoming an adult. And what if it's awful? What if it's boring? What are the horrors that come with it? It's even there in Spielberg's latest film, The Fabelmans, that's about his own youth, where he sees the absolute beauty of the power of film and the absolute danger of the power of film. So I'm really interested in that. That seems like such a great match with the plot that we do know of kids lost in the galaxy, which has got to be both utterly thrilling and incredibly terrifying, which really makes sense to me with the Amblin angle.
And I am excited beyond just the Mandoverse of it all. I'm really excited about this being in the New Republic era.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great time of self-discovery and rediscovery for the galaxy and for those emerging in the system. And I think it's a great way to tell a coming of age story in Star Wars now, that it doesn't need to be High Republic's great, all that stuff. Everyone knows I love the 19 years between Sith and New Hope, but like that's something exciting. I don't know if we haven't spent as much time with the kids during this time yet. And this will be, like you said, four Ezras in one.
Yeah. And it'll be great to see, like, yeah, if it's whatever, not entirely defined time, 5, 7, eight, right, three, right, whatever amount of years it is after, you know, Endor, after Jakku at this point, you know, if these kids are young teens, they were children during the Galactic Civil War. And how did that affect them? Did they have parents who were lost, right? Did some of them come from a planet that wasn't as affected and don't understand what the big deal was, you know? To have those youthful perspectives on the Galactic Civil War and the state of the galaxy now is great. And I do think there's been some world building in The Mandalorian for it of like, hey, they're having problems with pirates in every rim, right? That line, the most recent episode about the problems with pirates in the mid rims, you suggest like that. I have no idea about the Gorian Shard rumor.
You and I almost run up against that direct rumor here. So I guess that, you know, we now know an end of Gorian Shard. So maybe it's before, but I mean, when Vane went flying off, I went and into another series. And I like that. I like that.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I mean, I think Gorian Shard could be done. Gorian Shard could, you know, he could just need to be watered like a Chia Pet and he'll regrow. Take over the plant life on Navarro. Who knows? I don't know. My last big, not a prediction. It's not even responsible speculation. It's just a hope. It's just a, this would be cool. And if it's not that, I will let it go. But I would love for one or more of the kids to be force sensitive. Because
ooh, I'm with you. Yeah.
We haven't been able to sort of, the Jedi Order is shattered. We've had storytelling with, Cal Kestis and Sarah Junda deciding we're not going to go around the galaxy finding mm-hmm. kids and training them. We're not going to bring them up in a war. We're not going to put them at risk when they're too young to decide, are they okay being put at risk? Right. So that means, Kids are coming of age, you know, being, force sensitive. Who knows what horrible machinations the Emperor has going on. There's some storytelling out there, but not a ton. But some teen who slips through the cracks, who knows, like, I know I'm different and I know there used to be this Jedi thing, but is he looking? You know, a kid in the galaxy wouldn't be like us and be like, I understand I was born in this era, so I should find Luke Skywalker. I bet he's building a school on Osnus, right? The kid wouldn't know. How does a kid feel about it? How do the other kids feel about it? You know, is it a part of the, like, you know, if it's Lor San Tekka, is that a part of the story? Mm-hmm. So I also just think that we'll see how much Ahsoka deals with it, but they're doing such a great job in this New Republic era of talking about all sorts of different cultures being rebuilt. And we have the hint of that, of Luke's rebuilding, but to see that from another perspective would be great.
I'm really with you on that. Yes, we have Grogu figuring it all out in this era as well, but I don't think, Grogu hasn't said a word yet. So I get his perspective on things, but I don't have it all, the full understanding, but to have exactly what you're describing. Someone going, I have this, I don't know what to do with this. And in this era, what does that really mean? It would be for the New Republic era and this modern era storytelling, a good way, a good chance to deal with that. Again, kind of for the first time on this level.
Yeah.
So, I'm with you. Not a prediction, but a hope, I guess.
Yeah, a hope. And like I said, I think that's what responsible speculation is about. If it has nothing to do with anything Force Center, I'm not going to be throwing things at the screen going, they should have done that. I will engage with what I'm presented with.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Well, we're going to find out soon enough. I think pretty confident, just the way it's shaping up, that Lucasfilm showcase panel, all that stuff, coming at Star Wars Celebration, and with the series still slated to be 2023, this stuff was shot a while ago. I think we'll get some questions answered here, but maybe more questions indeed, which is part of the fun. All right, that is our look at Star Wars news. We're going to look ahead to Star Wars Celebration after the break. But before we do, we have our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us and help the show in the process. Joseph, what do we have?
We are recommending Battle Scars by Sam Meggs, the continuation of Cal Kestis and Marin's adventures in probably Sarah Junda. I don't know. I haven't read the book yet, but a lot of people who have said it's great, and we look forward to discussing it.
Yes, download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, stick around. We're going to look ahead to Star Wars Celebration Europe 2023, which is just days away.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Four Center. We are here. Ken Napsok, Justice Grimshaw. Jennifer Landa is, of course, on a well-deserved vacation. And we are going to look ahead to Star Wars Celebration. We are off to London. We'll be there. I've got, I got my compression socks ready for a long flight. This is really happening. We will be there at Star Wars Celebration, Europe 2023. And we're going to talk about some of the big things, some of the panels, what to expect, what we're looking forward to, and some information. Updates on where we will be and where you can possibly find us. Joseph, I'm just going to run down some of the big panels, but this is certainly not all of them. So if you've missed one, you want to discuss it, that will be there as well. And also there's some that are just, I mean, there's if you like panels, brace yourself, the big ones, the small ones, the ones tucked away in the corners that are talking about costumes, Padme. So when there's about the legacy of Padme on the prequel kids, there's a lot of them. You can't be everywhere, everything all at once. You can only be one at a time. So let's take a look. Lucasfilm Studios Showcase panel is on Friday, April 7th at 11 o'clock, scheduled to go to about 12:30. It's a big 90-minute slot. This is potentially the biggest one. We'll talk more about it. This could be the movie news. This could be, I anticipate some Indy 5 stuff. We'll see. That is there. Saturday is the Ahsoka Tano panel, or Ahsoka Show panel, I should say. Saturday, April 8th, 11 to 12 noon, which is more the normal runtime of these big panels and the celebration stage. So we're anticipating trailers, more information. Who knows there? Don't forget, this is the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi. And Saturday, 2 to 3, will be 40 years of Return of the Jedi. Joseph and I can talk our experiences of seeing some of the past anniversary panels. Phantom Menace, I know Attack of the Clones was a real nice one for you last time, Joseph. Mm-hmm. Hasbro has their Star Wars and Indiana Jones panel Saturday, 4 p.m. I think there's growing anticipation for that one from toy collectors. A lot of folks, even in our own Force Center Discord, there's supposed to be over 20 or so announcements on figures. Kind of exciting stuff. And since the conventions have a lot, the Star Wars conventions at least have a lot to do with toys, I think that'll be a big one there. A lot of stuff will be probably on display on the showroom floor. Clone Wars 15th anniversary panel Saturday, 5:30 to 6:30. Filoni and team will be there celebrating that. Who knows? Clone Wars season 8? We'll look back at the Obi-Wan Kenobi show is Sunday, 1:30 to 2:30. And yes, there's an anticipation of, hey, could this be a great time to announce it? We'll talk about that. Bad Batch panel is Monday, 11 to 12. Hey, Joseph and I have already owned it. We were bracing for impact that maybe there'd only be two seasons of the show. But if you follow the story out, I think we got a third season. I think that's a great bet. this would be a good place to talk about it. And finally, one of the big ones, Celebration Stage, Visions Volume 2, Monday, 1 to 2 p.m. Disney Lucasfilm, really excited about Visions and Volume 2 and a lot of different creators from all over the world. It makes sense to show up in London, a city that has a lot of different folks from a lot of different parts of the world there pretty normally. So there's a lot of excitement for that panel as well. All right, Joseph, I've done my rundown, maybe even let some up. What are we most looking forward to there on these panels?
Yeah, I think the only kind of bigger one that you didn't list is the look back at the villains of the sequel trilogy, which I don't expect be like packed full of news. But what a stage full of humans, mm-hmm. right? With Ian McDiarmid and Phasma herself, Gwendolyn Christie, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And Andy Serkis. Yeah. So that, yeah. I don't think anything new is news wise is coming flying out of that. But I think that one's full of personality.
The news would be if Adam Driver actually, you know, showed up to a convention, which I don't say with shade. I get it. He's like, I ain't here for this. He's been like that from the beginning. So I'm not expecting him there. It would be fascinating. I would love to hear 2 hours of him talking about Kylo and Ben Solo. I'm fascinated stuff. But anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And who knows? You know, Ian McDiarmid might have another quote-worthy moment in this panel. Maybe turn into a great T-shirt for Brian Ward.
He always does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Love it. So yeah, anything, we're going to try to get to as many of these as we can as Force Center pundits, but as a fan, as a person who's lived with Star Wars for a long time, Joseph, where does your heart go?
Well, after the conclusion of Bad Batch Season 2, the Bad Batch Season 3 announcement, just having that confirmed is something that I'm really hopeful for. Honestly, if the Bad Batch panel was just going to be a kind of like, we did it and it was great, wasn't it? It's going to break my heart a little bit. So I'm even more jazzed for that to see what will be announced. We're going to talk about what we're expecting news-wise, but I am really just looking forward to that Lucasfilm Studio showcase because it is like the kickoff, right? And that vibe, and that's usually where the biggest news is going to come from. So there's the... Let's just get this out of the way, right? The shape of, is this a big news event weekend will be shaped pretty quickly. And also it's an interesting time for Lucasfilm and for Disney. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what's the shape of Lucasfilm looking like. They've got Indiana Jones coming out. They announced they're not moving forward with the Willow Season 2. So is it a little bit back to basics? Is it a little bit back to Star Wars? The shape of that I'm really interested in. As a fan, I'm so excited for the Obi-Wan panel because I really don't care if it is just Hayden and Ewan repeating stories that I've heard before.
Yes, right. Totally.
I want to celebrate that show. Some of the bumps in it have been, you know, much discussed, but I think for me, some of the bumps have overshadowed so much that is absolutely wonderful and amazing about that show, including the character of Reva and the possibilities with the character Reva's ongoing story. So I'm just really excited for the Obi-Wan panel, even if it's nothing but just being in a room full of people who, you know, are willing to let the bad snowspeeder CGI go and embrace the rest of the show.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for that as well. I think your thoughts on the showcase panel, of course, it makes sense. It's the big one now to lead it off. But that wasn't always the case prior to Anna. I don't remember Chicago having, it seemed to be, it was more episode 9, right?
Yeah.
More specific. So it's kind of fun to see it here now and have it just be, you know, go beyond the walls of Star Wars, potentially. Last time out, we had the Willow stuff. That's a little sad and depressing right now for Willow fans, but your idea that it let's just kind of rip the Band-Aid off or let's just open up the prize package and this will set the tone for the convention in a way. I definitely don't think you're wrong there. And I'm looking forward to it. I think I recently described like the door opening on who's going to save Grogu, Rey going up to the Mirror Cave and who are we going to get an answer? That kind of energy is what I have and will take into that panel with me where I'm like, okay, forget all the hullabaloo and all the rumors. We are either going to find out or we are not going to find out. And I'm kind of excited about that. It's like a little drama central to the panel.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, we're going to have our little press hats on, and we're going to have our our physical pencils to our notepads, and we'll be scribbling down for the news, the hot, fresh news. Also, those panels are always fun. They are going to, like, I struggle to think about exactly what they might have left to reveal or hype us on indie, but they're going to, half of it might just be hyping us on indie, you know?
Yeah. The indie of it all, I'm super excited. Of course, shout out to our Patreon exclusive podcast right now, Indiana Jones and the Perilous Podcast. I'm excited for Dial of Destiny. I want to see a longer trailer. Will Harrison come out? I don't know. I don't know. Can you get him to London these days? I don't know. But just knowing more and feeling the vibe. That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always charming. It's always charming.
Looking at the... you know, what are we expecting news wise? Looking at the Ahsoka panel, obviously we got a tease last time out, so we're ready for a full trailer. I'm pretty confident that's going to happen there. What's your expectation of not just that panel, but a trailer? Any hopes, dreams, all that kind of stuff for that panel? What it might say about the show
for Ahsoka in particular?
Yeah.
I think Chopper back on stage like they had before. Big thing, I think, is footage. I think that there is a very good chance that they will show a trailer that is then immediately released to the public. And that might be one of the big pieces of news of the weekend. I also think that then there's maybe the chance of that. There's something extra for the people in the room, either a behind the scenes or an extended trailer with, you know, one or two things. Trailer footage, regardless, I really expect, whether it is just in the room and released later or released immediately. I also kind of think that maybe some confirmations.
Yes.
I think there is a possibility that Ezra or Thrawn, the actor of, walks out on stage.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun.
And there might be some sort of clarification, I think, since it is already clear that, yes, it's Ahsoka's story and it is called Ahsoka, but it is also clearly continuing the story of Rebels. So maybe getting a little bit of perspective from Filoni, because I know there have been in the past some Rebels fans who are like, well, why is it called Ahsoka if it is Rebels season 5, you know? So maybe hearing a little bit of his perspective of threading that needle and why is it called Ahsoka, you know, or does he reveal, actually, it's called Ahsoka and the Rebels, you know?
Right. Your minds, our minds went to the same spot of just kind of, you know, I don't know how detailed a clarification I would want or need, but just that, hey, number one, it she's still in the spotlight, or maybe she isn't. Or, hey, if you're worried that it's Rebels 2.0 and you wanted an animated version, which I've seen that thought out there, right? Which makes sense. I think maybe even at times I might have thought that. Hey, don't worry, we got you covered, right? I think it's going to be an example where Filoni, and I'm definitely looking at him. I obviously know there's others involved in the show. We're going to hear from them, including directors and writers, and whatnot. But, like, you know, Ahsoka's, you know, obviously super, super, super close to his heart. But just saying, like, he'll probably say something to soothe fans' anxieties on it's a different performer doing this character or this or that. I don't know how many people will listen, because a lot of times I don't think they do listen to some of the stuff he says, if that makes sense. You know, he sometimes gives an answer and everyone's like, yeah, sure, but you're just wedging Zeb into it. And I just don't think that's fair. So maybe he'll address that kind of stuff in a way. And for those who are super excited that they'll get that vibe that, all right, cool. Yeah. We're going to see some familiar characters. It's still focused on Ahsoka, or maybe it's not. So clarification, which isn't exciting. That's not exciting for a panel. Let me clarify that, but it does work. I think we need it as fans.
Yeah. And to me, you know what? I don't even, I know I'm kind of describing it as clarification, but I don't think I mean it is clarification. Cause I do think that creators, especially with something like Star Wars, should, you know, be aware of what fans are feeling and be somewhat responsive to it. But also, like, it's not his job to go out and say you decided in your mind what you wanted it to be. And so to me, it isn't necessarily about clarifications. It's about understanding where they're coming from. And I think, like, there's some things that Favreau has said that I feel like if people heard and listened to, it would it would tell you what you need to know. And he, you know, saying like he said on panels that Boba Fett's kind of Mando season 2.5, right? He said that in a panel or an interview. And I think if everybody had listened to that and believed that, Boba Fett would have been the book of Boba Fett would have been an easier pill to swallow. I think he said a lot recently of like, now that we've moved forward with Mando, we can tell you the truth. The first season was a slow introduction to this world to make sure that we could expand out. But the plan already was to always to expand. Filoni keeps saying every panel lately, hey, I think that the reason that people love Star Wars, or one of the reasons that fans love it, is that it's interconnected. So they love it when characters cross over and pop up. So for me, it's almost like guideposts. That's the word I'm looking for. Of like, I think the creators share honestly their perspectives. It's not about fixing anything. It's just them playing fair, putting their cards on the table of this is what I want to do with this show. And I think it's really helpful for us to listen to them, because then we don't spiral off into, but this is what I want, when they've kind of, to me, I go to even like the Rise of Skywalker trailer, when it is literally Luke saying, we've taught you everything we know, 1,000, you know, generations live in you, but this is your fight. When Luke in the trailer said, but this is your fight, I never entertained any idea that the Force ghosts of Luke and Anakin were going to show up and win the day,
because kick ass. Yeah.
Luke said it real clear, you know? So for me, I like listening to those guideposts, and I'm really interested to see what kind of guideposts that Filoni might say that might shape perspectives for Ahsoka going in.
Yeah. We're in the same pace. Same place. I think you can throw in guideposts, comforting information, clarification, throw all of it into a bag, and it all kind of works for me. And everything you're saying, I really agree with it. Yeah, not to harp on again. We mentioned this recently, I think, on the Mando Report. Like, you know, going back to pre-season one, there's a headline that came out of Mando will show you how the First Order formed. That was not what John said. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll show you the conditions in which something like the First Order returning can happen. Now, flash forward to the season, we're getting, there's some direct, I think, not connections, but you know, signs on the hiking path saying this way towards darkness, and you know, you and I didn't mention it, but you know, I know in the Carson Teva's speaking, and first Kylo's theme or something, note or two plays behind it. I've seen a lot of people say that. To me, still does not mean. It just means it's like, hey, if you don't do something now, this could lead to other things. And then the music goes, possibly something like this, but it's not a connection. But we get maybe sometimes outside of, as fans, get ahead of ourselves, trip over our own feet, because, yeah, that would be fun, but it's just the spirit of it. And I think in that Dave way, because Dave hates giving away stuff in panels. He didn't have these panels.
He likes being cheeky. Yeah.
He's so cheeky. He's got that cheeky grin he wears, and I love it because I'm with him. I don't want a syllabus handed out. Here's what to expect, but it's possible. Anyways, I think people get it. But I'm extra excited for this panel more than I would have thought even a year ago. Mm-hmm. Just because I think there's so much stuff swirling around the show, and we might know.
I think this is the real kickoff, right? They had the Mandoverse panel last year, and it touched on Ahsoka, and it really drove the point home of like, it's part of the same storytelling, but this is, you know, this is, I think, the launch of the campaign for the show, when I think there's going to be some exciting stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Any other panels that you want to talk about too? Speculations, dreams, surprises. I forgot to mention the Andor panel. So look back there. We already know this is season two. Imagine there'll be some stuff there. I apologize, folks. There's a lot of panels there. Anything on your list there?
In big picture, we talked about what we're expecting from Ahsoka, but for news-wise, I'm keeping my expectations small and reasonable. I think that Skeleton Crew news, since it's well shot, I think that Lucasfilm panel could have a Skeleton Crew trailer. There could be a big chunk of that 90 minutes that's about Skeleton Crew and kind of revealing what it is up to a point. I do think Bad Batch season 3 is a good chance for an announcement. I think Tales of the Jedi season 2 is a good chance for an announcement. I think updates, maybe a behind the scenes on Andor season 2, maybe a teeny tiny Acolyte teaser. But I think there is a lot that's already on the horizon that we're mostly going to be getting a little bit more about that. I think on the not wild speculation, but maybe a new Disney Plus show that's down the road that's like almost nothing but a title.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a movie announcement. And I think there is a long shot hope of Obi-Wan Kenobi season two. And if there's a long shot hope of Obi-Wan Kenobi season two, I feel like that might be part of the Lucasfilm panel. And then they're able to talk about it on the look back, but I don't know if it would be announced on the look back.
I really agree with you on that. I know it seems to make sense, but that in terms of news cycle announcement splash, you want most of it to come out of the showcase panel. The Bad Batch one can make sense. And I don't mean that to sound like animation's less than, please don't take it as that, but that's Monday, 11 a.m. local time. The Kenobi panel, the 131, those aren't the news slots. Doesn't mean it won't be, but those, you had said that off air, and I want to, put my chips on the roulette table right again, because I think if you're going to do it, that's you want the splashes. You want as many splashes as you can get out of that first one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you want it to be an overwhelming excitement on Friday going into the weekend. And then, you know, and then Ahsoka landing on Saturday trailer possibly. So those are my reasonable to slightly hopeful. And then I have some wild ones too, but I want to hear what you think.
Wild ones. Overall. Yeah. Just, I really think they're going to do the heavy hitting there, that Lucasfilm Studio Showcase panel. And in terms of movie news and speculations or dream surprises, just to, you know, if the rumors are true, let's make them true, that they have a graphic with here's what we got going forward, or here's what we're actually doing. I do agree that, you know, it hasn't, I mean, it's not even a matter of whether they agree or not. It hasn't been perfect on the movie side, going back to even the early days in 2015 with the Trank stuff and all that stuff. So there's a chance to maybe put a good foot forward. I don't necessarily think anyone's job security is tied to that, but I think it's important. So I'm just excited to be there for that. And movies will always be important to Star Wars. We're just in a weird, wonderful era where we have a lot of content that doesn't need to be on the big screen, but that doesn't mean we don't want it. So I'm looking forward to that. As far as the other stuff, I won't be in attendance for the Hasbro Star Wars Indiana Jones panel. But as much as I've kind of slowed down on collecting Star Wars, I think I'm about to ramp up on collecting Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I need to get my hand on some of those retro figures, the larger Professor Jones. The pull is strong. The pull is strong. Yes. So yeah, I'm excited for that. Yeah, we will be on the Star Wars Explained panel at the time of the Hasbro panel, so we won't be able to be there, sadly, but I'm looking forward to the news. Do you want to hear my totally wild, borderline disconnected from reality?
Absolutely. I've got 11 hours on a flight. I want to dream about these wild speculations that you got.
There's an announcement of, you know, a new film, which I would absolutely love. I don't want them to announce it until it's solid. So if it's solid and they can announce a title and a director, great. I would love that. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, wouldn't it be great if they announced a 3D re-release of all the Saga films in the theater?
Oh, all nine?
Yeah, like Lucas was going to do. He did the, wow, you know, Phantom Menace, and then they're like, "Ooh, let's not do that." I have no idea. You know, I'm not like, this would for sure be great, but do great financially, but 3D is a thing these days.
A chance to go see Star Wars on the big screen. Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And I went to my first four. I don't even remember now what it is. They all sound like various off-road biking things. The thing where the chair shakes on you. MXK4XDDXYZ experience. I saw this Scream movie and it shook every time somebody got stabbed, which was fun. and it also did shake quite violently when somebody got tased in the gentleman parts. So it would be that, and it that one was weird, but the rest of it was quite fun. I would love to actually go see it in 3D and have the chair swoop around with the Falcon. That'd be great.
I love that. Yeah, no, could you imagine going into the Death Star trench run in New Hope? I'm thinking in Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah,
shake it in there, explosions, Lando screaming. Yeah, that would be my butt rattling in a chair. I'd love that.
I want my butt to rattle when Dexter pulls up his pants. I want it all. I want it all.
That's great.
My other wild speculation, physical disc releases of the Disney Plus shows. That is honestly one of the things that would thrill me as a fan.
Look, Iger's got that quote out there that makes you think that they're, let's not forget the DVDs with Blu-rays and whatnot, but you know, let's not forget the VHS tapes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just think that, I don't know. I don't know the economy now. I don't know if it is a huge risk or if it is all about, we want to drive them to streaming. Paramount Plus does it for Star Trek. The various versions of Warner Brothers has done it for some of their superhero shows like Titans in Doom Patrol. I just feel at this point, like so many of us are not going to cancel our Disney Plus subscriptions, right. But we'd probably buy a real nice set of The Mandalorian, of Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's the people who are just like, they're never going to be regular streamers, but maybe they want to see this one show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, a cynical, dark corporate side. How do we get them to spend their money twice? Let's release the physical editions. You could look at it that way. But guess what? I'd be there, especially yep. if I go down to Best Buy and I pick up the Obi-Wan Kenobi series with the special robe edition that comes in a little robe wrapped around Blu-rays. You know, $60 price to go. I'm there. You know, it's like, yeah, I you can be cynical about it, but it is what it is. And it's probably a smart move and also probably be celebrated. There's a lot of folks, you know, how many, you know, all the stuff going on, Warner Brothers, HBO Max and shows being cut and never seen again. And, you know, that's part of the conversation. So, you know, Uncle Bob's got, you know, he had to put the hatchet on 7,000 jobs. What if he, you know, does this, you know, is it a little bit of a sleight of hand? Maybe, but, you know, be good news. Anyways, I don't want to get too excited because now you got me excited. I don't necessarily think this is going to happen, but I want it to. So.
Oh, no, these are under wild fever dream. Not mm-hmm. most likely not going to happen. Yeah. I mean, the an Obi-Wan Kenobi 4K set that comes with a little bit of a space whale meat. Yeah. Your Eopie.
Beautiful.
Here's my last one. Utter fantasy. One-off animated films. Maybe that's not as much of a fantasy because I know that's something that a lot of people are excited about. Maybe Tales of the Jedi has opened the door to that. But the one-off animated film I want is, I would like them to say, like, we're not necessarily doing a series. We're doing a one-off. It's an animated film. It is a Jedi adventure with Luke, Ben Solo, and Han, voiced by Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Adam Driver. So maybe not on screen, but we could get Luke and Han together.
Okay. Yeah. You see, you're pitching things that are too good.
You asked me for like dreams. I think there's a part of me that like I'm enjoying covering all of the news and the sort of the very real world. Will this director do this? Is this a good business idea? Yeah. But there's part of me when you put this question here of dream surprises that maybe just want to burrow into my nerd heart and go, yeah, probably no relationship to reality financially or business wise. Yeah. But what do I want as a fan? Yeah. And these are some of the things that came out.
You've done a better job than answering my own question here. Yeah, no. I mean, you know, does George come out and say he's going to direct an episode of Mandalorian season 4? Yeah, great. No, you know, but what you're also talking about is practical as well. Like these are things that could happen. I mean, look, I'm still lost on the Kenobi robe edition. I remember going to Best Buy and you know, you had the Northern Exposure seasons wrapped in, you know, orange jackets.
Yeah. So,
you know, there's a lot of joy around that there. No, I'm with you on all that. That's good. My big speculation might be that we get some announcements on movies, but that one, whether it's some of the ones that have been talked about or not, that one is a little bit more in place, not in terms of footage or anything like that, but some names and faces can come on out and that'd be a great, exciting thing, but we'll see. We'll see on that. There we go. Let's look at some other stuff there. We can come back to panels if we need to, because there's a lot, and we'll talk about the one that we're going to be on it. Exhibitors. We mentioned this on the live stream on Friday, thanks to those who watched. There is listed less names than, say, Anaheim, and I've seen that discussed in the Force Center Discord of, that's kind of a bummer. Number one, yeah, no, I totally get that. There's probably some logistics, space-wise, also travel-wise. But man, don't worry about it. If this is your first convention, 94 to 100 vendors, you're going to have plenty of fun looking at things. And actually, in a weird way, frees you up to maybe go to more of a panel during a certain day. Because, you know, Joseph and I will tell you, and Joseph, you can back me up here, like, it can sometimes, you know, I remember Chicago going, have we been, we haven't, oh my God, we haven't been to this section yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't been there for 3 days and turned around. Oh, there's the Millennium Falcon. You know, that kind of stuff was happening. And I you're going to have plenty to do. And I think this is great. So anything that you're excited about, or, you know, share your experiences with the convention floor.
Yeah. I hadn't really heard people discussing that there were fewer. You had mentioned that there. So I did look, and I thought that Anaheim was great, but there were fewer action figure stalls, which obviously is my bias and the thing that I'm most excited about, even than Chicago. And I do think it is about location. I think, you know, the coasts get real hunters for action figures, you know? Yeah. So I think kind of being in the Midwest, maybe of Chicago, some dealers who are a little bit, frankly, have more variety in their stock, you know, were able to come out. So like Chicago was for me, like the best action figure experience with like an overwhelming number of stalls and options. And then Anaheim was great, but a little bit down from that. And so I went through and I counted, Ken. I have identified 8 dealers most likely selling action figures that I can afford.
Wonderful.
That are not just like, we're only selling, you know, the Bespin Luke with different hair for, you know, $80 million. So I counted 8 dealers. So that's plenty. That's great for me. And looking through it, it is. It's got everything. There's, you know, jewelry. There's Funko Pop. There's Tops. There's general vintage and collectible. There's that whole tattoo pavilion that I'm strangely tempted by to get my Jedi Order tattoo. There's a lot going on. So, you know, even if it's smaller, you get to spend more time in each booth rather than feeling utterly overwhelmed by how can I make it to all of these.
That's a great way to look at it. Kind of break it down and focus on what you want. Yeah, there's a lot to check out. I'm always going to take a swing through the art, through the apparel, find a new cool hat. But I've never been one to travel with a little extra space to bring stuff back. So it's not going to be any different for traveling to London. So I'll be looking for little tiny things. And I'm focusing on last year was the Emperor's Royal Guard, which you helped make my dreams come true with that the classic Kenner. I don't need it on card. I don't need to spend a couple hundred bucks. I don't need to sell stock in Apple to afford to buy any figures. I'm looking for a classic Kenner loose Leia to go with my classic Kenner loose Han.
Are you going Hoth Leia?
You know, at this point, I'll see what I can find or afford. But I do have New Hope Han, so you might need to find classic Leia, which could be hard. And I'm talking. I don't care if there's a little chip on the ear, you know, I just need it on the shelf. That's my goal.
Okay. Well, you know, now I'm perked up. Now I got a mission. Yeah. That's great. I'm excited for, there's a couple specific figures I always like looking for. Probably going to be way out of my ballpark, but I really want that Jocasta New. She was a limited edition. I can't remember but so great. The Jedi Temple Guard that they put out from the Rebels lines, which is also bonkers expensive. There's an edition of a 3¾-inch Mace Windu that comes with Jango's helmet as an accessory.
Yes. Accessory, yes.
I hope that there is a good selection of just some of the lines that are bonkers, like the 30th anniversary, frankly, Attack the Clones. I didn't collect a lot of Attack the Clones. I want a Dexter Jetster. You know, I want Watto with a hat.
Yeah.
So I have like some like big, you know, figures that I would love to see. Probably can't even afford if I see them like Jocasta New. But then also just a handful of beautiful weirdos that might fit in my suitcase.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Figure merch wants, we've talked about that, but we needed to floor beard dreams. Like even as we're recording this episode, I've been on the Celebration app to try to confirm whether or not there's going to be floor beers available. I don't know. Cause it's not necessarily the case at every convention.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I hope so. That'd be a weird experience if there's not. I will have to mime it if there's not, and just
This doesn't just suggest that Joseph and I need to get drunk to enjoy conventions. It's just there's something just if you drink and many of you don't, we understand that. But there's just something so relaxing of just sipping a cold one. And for me, I get a rum and a Diet Coke and you just walk the floor and take it all in because it kind of forces you to slow down when you're just sipping. And strolling.
Yeah. Well, just for me, that combination of like strolling around with friends with a beer in my hand and looking at action figures, it's mm-hmm. my personal heaven. So, yeah, you know what? I really hope that there's beer. And I hope that there's just absolutely basic UK beers, the kind of beers mm-hmm. that people who live there be like, yeah, you can get that anywhere. But I want to have the full British experience. You know, I'm mm-hmm. drinking British beers.
Love it. Love it. And what I also love too is we're all, you know, at these conventions, very fortunate to be approached and stopped by wonderful listeners who want to take a photo or have a moment with us. And what I love is seeing the amount of photos you or I are in with our hands concealed because we're usually holding some sort of drink.
a beer and a toy and not many hands free. Yeah.
Love it. Love it there. Let's talk about Four Center appearances here as we look ahead to Star Wars Celebration 2023. On Saturday, April 8th, 3:30 is the time we will be appearing on the Star Wars Explained panel with Alex and Molly. We did that in Anaheim. It was a ton of fun. Kind of the same vibe talking about the news of the convention so far. So we'll have the showcase and the Ahsoka panels behind us at that point. So plenty to talk about as we did last time. And I'm sure they'll do Q&As from the audience. A lot of fun. Always fun to hang out with them. They're already there. I'm getting texts back from Alex in pubs with pictures of a drunk Biggs dark lighter figure. he's starting to post them online too. It's hilarious. So we'll be settling in and joining them then. Not only just enjoy them as friends, but their panels are always great and they've set a good tone, the kind of conversation. So any thoughts on that panel, Joseph, on Saturday?
No, I'm really excited to do it. Alex and Molly are obviously just like great figures in the Star Wars community. Not action figures, human figures, mm-hmm. but there should be action figures of them. And they are also great friends. So it's really fun to feel like, yeah, we're doing a panel where we're, you know, mm-hmm. they usually record it and we're broadcasting, but also just we're nerding out with our friends. And that's really fun. Yeah.
It is. It is. And we mentioned this also on the live show, a bit of advice. If you're going to this, planning on heading to this panel, give yourself some time. I don't know exactly what the line situation will be, but it will be a lot of folks. There'll be a lot of folks trying to get in. Alex and Molly have you know, just a wide range of fans who want to see them, and some of you will want to see us as well. But we do recommend getting there early. I think our listener, our pal Brian Tiller, was like the last allowed in the room at Anaheim. He had the last open seat, and he was so talking to him after. He was happy to experience that, but he almost missed it because he just underestimated the wait time to get in. So I don't know exactly the number of the panel rooms here. It changes from convention to convention. It's on the HoloNet news stage, I should add. And just look for, we'll tweet out all the good stuff, but I just want to make sure people understand you might miss it if you show up a little bit later.
Yep.
Our big show on Sunday night, Joseph, we want to touch base on. It is sold out, the Harrison Pub, Sunday, April 9th, 7:30 doors, 8 p.m. This is the return of comedy. That's right. Return of the comedy. Joseph and Ken, that's me. We'll be performing some actual stand-up comedy. What sets? I'm sure Star Wars is going to be in there, but we're going to be doing one of our other loves, which is performing and entertaining. Well, it's been fun before and after the sets, but looking forward to that, Joseph. And we will have an update if there are any room, any seats open up, correct?
Yeah, so we got a couple of questions on Twitter from people wondering if there's any chance to get tickets yet. And the only opportunity that there will be for tickets is if any open up between now and the show on Sunday, April 9th. So we will tweet from the Four Center account the day of the comedy show if any tickets open up. Other than that, it is unfortunately all full. We really, really feel extremely lucky that it sold out and that it sold out so quickly. And we're really gratified to know that people want to come see the stand-up. So if we do it again, we will try to have more room for sure. We're so excited to share the stage. We're both going to be doing some comedy sets and we'll have some other comedy business that will be Star Wars related. So I'm ton of fun. I have done so many shows, Ken, in American basements, and I cannot wait to do a comedy show in an English basement.
I'm excited. Yeah, the Harrison Pub this year, O2 Arena next time. All right, we'll set a goal.
There's got to be something in between 60 and however there, okay. many thousands, okay. you know.
That's fair. Hyde Park. There we go. Afterwards, after the show, we're going to make sure we try to wrap it up in time so that we can hang out in the pub or anywhere around. We get a lot of questions about meetups. Joseph, we'll say an official Force Center meetup is a TBD. We have plans to do one. We're looking for possibly something there on that Saturday after the panel. But that's a follow us on Twitter so we can get a lay of the land and find the best place to meet people.
Yeah, yeah, we think probably after the Star Wars Explained panel, but we'll tweet that out. Once we can scope out where can a big chunk of people meet and stand around and chat without disrupting the flow of the convention.
I'll tell you what, here's what we do. Let's get on the tube, and we'll just tweet out which stop, and you try to catch us between that stop and another stop. It's a game. We're game.
That's a great way to see London.
There you go. As we wrap up the discussion on Star Wars Celebration, Joseph, any general excitements, hopes, tips out there? You are a convention veteran going back many, many years to many, many kinds of conventions, including cruise ship conventions, I might add there as well. That's a special breed. Any thoughts on as we close it up and get on out there?
Yeah. Well, just one bit of business that I feel like we should mention. We put out on Twitter and Facebook, and we posted on Patreon a breakdown of our schedule for the next coming weeks, including some live shows, not live shows, but we're going to record in London. We'll be live. so that's why they're live shows. But we'll be recording some episodes from London. We're both traveling after Star Wars Celebrations. So we'll be a little late on the Mandalorian report for chapter 23. Of the show. We'll also try to do some YouTube shorts as well. So we really want to be aware of, we're lucky to be able to see fans in London who can be there, but man, it's not easy to be there. And we so appreciate everyone's support that we want to do as much as we can to share the experience with people who are enjoying CouchCon at home, because it is a time for Star Wars Celebration for all Star Wars fans, even if you're not physically at Celebration. So we want to do what we can to put that spirit out onto the internet.
Yeah, indeed. Well said. And yeah, a lot going to happen. But we'll try to take you there for those that can't. And by the way, if you're out there and you're kind of bummed and you got the old FOMO that you can't be there, and seeing too much of this stuff will make it worse, don't be afraid to unplug. Mm. Don't be afraid. Oh, yeah. I had a conversation with a couple folks who were like, it kind of really hurts that I can't be there and I want everyone to have fun. So I'm just going to step aside and I'll return. Don't be afraid of that too. CouchCon's a real thing. You get to enjoy all the news. You won't miss anything in terms of news and what's to talk about. But if Instagram FOMO is real for you, don't be afraid to take care of yourself in that regard and check back in after as well. But if for those that love it and love seeing it, we're going to get as much out there as we can.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you said that, Ken, because I think that is real, and there's nothing wrong with taking a step back. And yeah, it's fun to be in the panels and have those experiences. But, you know, if they announce Obi-Wan season 2, you know, the show's going to come out and we're all going to enjoy it. Yeah. It's not like they're only you in the room are going to be able to see the second season of Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, when it comes out, it's for everybody always. So yeah, general excitements, hopes, and tips. The excitement is for everything from the news to the action figures to the seeing people and just getting to be in this warm bubble of celebration. Tips, these are ones that I have to tell myself. Drink water. Enjoy the vibe. Enjoy the celebration. We're talking about FOMO from CouchCon. There can be FOMO from the convention, because there's so much more than you can do. Before we started broadcasting, Ken and I went over our schedule to make sure that we still had some elbow room to just wander around and enjoy. So I think the main point of celebration is to celebrate. So if you go in there, spend some time and just go to the panels that you care about. Don't worry about the ones that you can't get in or you're missing. Play a fun game and dream up the weirdest Star Wars cosplay that you can imagine and then see if you see it. Like, have fun.
Yeah. No, it's great advice for those who are there, especially those attending for the first time. Pace yourself, all that kind of stuff. But I suffer from life where if I'm locked in one spot for 5 minutes, I wonder what I'm missing in the other spot. And I got to make sure to know that the celebration's where you're at, right? Where your feet are is mm-hmm. what you're experiencing. And that's easy to, it's easy to get overwhelmed. There's a lot of sights and sounds. So wonderful folks. Those are going to be the memories. And I want to say this too, because we are always blessed. A lot of people do stop and chat us. Please do that. Please say hi. Don't be shy to say, hey, I'm so-and-so. You know me as this in comments or Discord. We know a lot of you. We know a lot of you by name. Sometimes it might, even if you think you might know me by face. I was having a conversation with, I mentioned Brian Tiller. I was chatting with him and a wonderful cat named Jonas Berggren, a listener as well. And it was about 3 minutes in when they both said, hey, but it's us, Brian and Jonas. And I was like, oh my God. there's a lot going on for us, a lot going on for you, but that's the best way for us to immediately just connect. Hey, nice to meet you. I'm so-and-so. And it'll just make the experience for all of us run smooth and be fun and less awkward for me when I'm like, oh, I DM you all the time. I'm so sorry. So there you go.
That is a very good one.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one for me because it's just like, I feel just dumb and stupid that I've let you all down. You're like, I'm Starburst 92. And I'm like, oh, gotcha. You've been saying Phil right now for the last hour.
Yeah. Oh, you're Starburst 92.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. All right. That is our look at Star Wars Celebration 2023. Cannot wait. We'll be there shortly. Pulling the suitcases out of the storage shed after this episode. So we are going to, as always, take a look at the Star Wars history. This week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars past. And on April 7th, 1976, Variety magazine reported that a relatively unknown actor named Mark Hamill was cast in the role of Luke Starkiller for the upcoming space opera Star Wars. Looking back at this momentous decision, Joseph, what are some of the things we love most about this casting and Mark's continued involvement in Star Wars? Continue despite even any thoughts on certain roles or movies. And what are some of our favorite acting moments from him as Luke or anything any other characters in Star Wars?
Yeah, I mean, I think the casting is double-fold. There's his actual abilities as an actor and what he brings to the screen. There's also just this great legacy of him truly being a fan of fantasy and science fiction and just truly kind of being as a person a fan, right? If you follow Mark mm-hmm. Hamill on social media, like the way he interacts with, you know, the kids in the hall.
Yeah.
Because he's a fan. I think it was really, really powerful to have lots of different perspectives. You know, I love some of these early pictures of, you know, Mark Hamill at San Diego Comic-Con 1976 being the one who like, I kind of get this.
Yeah.
You know, and my people are the people who are going to like this film, you know. There's something just really, really beautiful about that, you know, combined with the different perspectives of Alec Guinness and Harrison mm-hmm. Ford and you know, Hollywood royalty, Carrie Fisher, like to have, you know, have Luke Skywalker be, you know, a bit all in, you know, is such a great energy to the character. And then acting wise, performance wise, the earnestness of the character, the true goodness of the character. I think the reason that so many of us can watch A New Hope, Star Wars, when it came out and connect with the character of Luke and feel represented by him in lots of ways because he is the perfect, I know there's something bigger and I'm anxious to get out there and be a part of it. And now that I am, I'm excited about it and maybe even making bad choices and mm-hmm. wrestling with impatience and everything that he is feeling as he goes through the original trilogy is extremely relatable to the human experience. And I think there's something about his performance. I can knock out individual moments that I love, but there's something about his performance that is just so raw and believable that really draws me in, starting with that absolute earnestness. And I don't understand the world, but I'm ready to jump into it both feet. It's so thrilling. And then in the whole grand scheme of Luke Skywalker's story, to be like, yeah, that's what youth is, to be excited, to jump in there, to not know what you're doing and to figure it out, right? Yeah. The absolute hubris of, I'm ready for anything. He walks into the canteen, like, turns out I can't even order a drink without an attempted murder. I was not ready for that. Like, who among us is not like Luke Skywalker walking into the cantina? And you gotta be, you know?
Yeah. Ah, no, absolutely well said. It goes beyond the moments for me as well. There's little things along the way. I mean, I never want to overlook that, you know, he acted opposite Frank Oz with a you know, rubber puppet on him. and he yeah. just sold. Made so much. Yeah, sold it, made so much of it. And there's all those moments, you know, obviously I love Bulio and Win the War. And Dabuske's burps have a commitment. That's all there, but you really touched on what I love is the spirit, the energy. A lot of times it's, you know, that naive farm boy appeal of New Hope, but really to me, it's just wanting to find your place, knowing the place and wanting to find your group and finding your people. And I think Mark Hamill's always had that energy, and you're so right. And for many years, when others weren't engaged with Star Wars, when others maybe it just seemed like they had their backs turned on it or just had a different relationship with it, I think Mark Hamill is always there. I remember his appearance on The Simpsons as Mark Hamill and Luke Skywalker was kind of about that, kind of him being the guy. And I just remember when Force Awakens kind of was emerging and the sale happened and he was there. And even though, yes, we know it turns out he wasn't in Force Awakens that long. The love that he got to experience, the love that all of them, I'm really happy Carrie got to experience that at the end, unfortunately the end for her, but there was a little bit of for Mark specifically, this like, yeah, he deserved this kind of love because he was there holding the flame when others weren't. And that's something I've always kind of thought. So it all works. And part of the Star Wars spirit too, of when you're casting, look, cast a wide net and see who you wouldn't normally think would get these roles.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I do want more of that. I want some more unknowns. I know we're in an era where we would like to put, you know, the chips on our favorite actors and hope for good things for them. But man, love to see all of the Mark Hamills of the world be discovered and brought into Star Wars. Discovered, a complicated word, but you know what I mean. You know what? For his performance, you know, I love the I Care in A New Hope. Almost every single moment with him in Empire Strikes Back. But yeah, the I'm ready. Man, I can be ready. Tell him I'm like, the fear of Yoda, that, you know, Yoda's super, you will be, is scary. Well done by Frank Oz, but it's you know, Hamill's response to Yoda that sells everything. I'm sorry. His I'm sorry in Return of the Jedi is huge for me. When Yoda says, oh, it's too bad that you know, unfortunately you rushed up before you're ready. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Just the weight of it, man. The times in my life that I've had to be sorry for something, I've basically been channeling Luke Skywalker.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to also shout out, because still I don't think enough people have seen it, a really bizarre, beautiful film that Mark Hamill's in, Brigsby Bear. If you haven't checked out Brigsby Bear, oh, it's a film about being a fan. And Mark Hamill plays a fun and surprising role in it. So check out Brigsby Bear.
Yeah, which I still haven't as well. It's Kyle Mooney, who I enjoy his work. Mm-hmm. So I'll get there as well. Well, that is our look at Luke Skywalker starting his Star Wars adventure and Mark Hamill's casting. We love doing these history segments. It's a fun way to look at different parts of Star Wars. We are almost out of here. Literally, almost out of here. Bags almost getting ready to be packed. All those kind of things in our next few hours and days here as we head towards London. We'll see you all there. To get all the updated information, find out where we are, all those things, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. Instagram is a good spot for reels and all those kind of things. Follow us there, Force Center Pod, and YouTube as well. Subscribe over there. Try to get as much out as we can. And sometimes I just forget because I'm in the moment and a short doesn't get made or get posted. That's going to be okay. Podcasts available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. And from there, get into the Discord. Follow me at Catnapsock or go to catnapsock.com for more information. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media, Instagram, Twitter, Mastodon, at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my YouTube page for some stand-up comedy, some short films. Go to YouTube and search for Joseph Scrimshaw. This episode is coming out Tuesday, April 4th. If you happen to live in Wisconsin, there is a very important Supreme Court election, so I'd encourage people to use their power and vote.
Good idea indeed. All right, that is it for now. We'll see you in London. Oh, after the Mandalorian report as well. See you soon, friends. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.